أحمدك اللهم يا رب العالمين، يا منعم يا متفضل يا كريم، يا من أنت أنت ولا إله إلا أنت، ولك العقبى وإن طال المدى يا رب العالمين. وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and the prophet and servant. And we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the Prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the Day of Judgment. My dear Muslim brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين، لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين، أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. From أحسن تقويم, the best of shaping, to أسفل سافلين, the lowest of the lowest. This is the scatter where human beings are arranged. Some really low, some really high. And it is worthwhile that every of us, every one of us, should think where he would like to lie on this scatter. As a matter of fact, it is our doing and our effort, because Allah shows us the way. Some of us turn their backs, some of us proceed. And we proceed at variable paces and variable degrees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the ladder at our feet. Some of us refuse to climb. Some climb slowly. Some climb fast and steadfastly. And this is where each of us puts himself or herself on that scale between the lowest of the lowest and the highest of the highest. There are various parameters to do that. There is the worship There is the doing of good. There is the loving nature. There is the purity and the cleanliness. And there is the helping of the people, the creatures of Allah. Because the best of the people is the most beneficial to the people. A strong parameter that Allah always conjoined with worship, with prayer, with iman, is not only to spend out of your strength, but to spend out of what you own. Wealth is very attractive and very lovable, and sometimes people find it very difficult to part with what they possess. But it is a test. And as we read the Quran, we can go through various phases for the human being. At the lowest are those whose characterization is just being selfish. The relation with life is take but do not give. They might be rich or poor, but they are niggardly. And you can come across some descriptions in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فتقوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وظهورهم هذا ما كنزتم لأنفسكم فذوقوا ما كنتم تكنزون. These are the people who heard money and silver and spend not in the cause of Allah. And on the day of judgment, Allah tells us, this money and silver will be heated in the fire of hell, and they will be branded with it on their foreheads and their sides and their backs, and they will be told, this is what you have been hoarding for yourselves during your lifetime. There are those who philosophically refuse to stand in the cause of Allah. And the Quran describes them. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. When it is said to them, spend out of what Allah has given you, give the poor. قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. We are not giving those poor. If God wanted to feed them, He would have fed them Himself. And we are not going to do that. There are those who were described as مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ, preventing good from reaching the people. There are those who love money much, but don't give even little. And this is one category, the selfish, whose balance with life is negative, who have been given, but they wouldn't give. And when the time comes, when we will need being given, they will be asked, did you give while you will be able to? Another category are the generous people who would give. We'd say, thank you, Allah, you gave me, and so I give your servants, and I help them. There are those who race. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. Race to that Jannah whose dimensions are more than the heavens and the earth, prepared for the muttaqeen. And the Quran describes them, those who spend, they spend when they are rich, they spend when they are poor, and they control their anger, and they forgive people. And these are the muhsins, Allah loves them. Those who remember well that every time prayer is mentioned in the Quran, or ibadah is mentioned in the Quran, or birr is mentioned in the Quran, it is always associated with spending out of the means Allah has given you. And these are the generous people, and their outcome will be the generosity of their Lord in this world as well as in the hereafter. They believe what they give is not a waste. What they give is an investment. The benefits which they reap in this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't always pay back in dollar terms. It might be preventing you from falling into calamity. It might be saving your children from going astray. It might be removing you from a situation that would hurt you very much. Allah has His ways, but when you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an investment, and you are the winner and you are the victor. And then comes A'la Aliyin. There comes the highest that the Quran describes. Not only do they give, but they give preference over themselves in giving. They need something. They have it, but they give it. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They give priority over themselves, even if they are needy. And this verse was revealed on a special occasion. You know, when the Prophet ﷺ emigrated from Mecca to Medina, and the other mu'mineen emigrated from Mecca to Medina, they went out just by the clothes that they were wearing. Nobody was allowed to take anything. And so they went to Medina, refugees, and what happened to them? They were not begging people, but the people of Medina received them as brothers. And the Prophet ﷺ made each two, a muhajir and an ansari, brothers. And they lived in their homes, and then they ate their food. And the Ansar, the people of the Medina, although they were not notoriously rich, yet they could carry the burden of the immigrants to Allah and His Rasul. And they accommodated them in their homes and in their food and in their money. But it was even reported that the one of them would say to his muhajir brother, I have two wives, take one of them. And indeed it was reported that they wrote them in their wills when they die that they would be amongst the inheritors, until the Quran stopped that habit. And once the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam went to a ghazwa, a military battle, and conquered a Jewish tribe called Banu Nadir, and they came with lots of booty. And then he asked the Ansar, you know that the Muhajirin are poor and they live in their homes and you practically support them. And I would like to give you the option. Either I split the booty between you and them, but what they take wouldn't be enough for an independent life, so they'll have to stay living in your homes and relying upon you, or you allow me to deny you the booty and give it, all of it, to the Muhajirin, so that they can leave you and leave your homes and start an independent life. You know what the answer of the Ansar was? Ya Rasulullah, we want them to stay in our homes and share our food and share our positions, and on top of that, give them the whole booty. We want none of it. And then the verse was revealed. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Those Ansar, the people of Medina, they lived in the Medina before the Muhajirin came. They attained the faith before the Muhajirin came to them. But as they received the Muhajirin, they feel love to them. And when they share something with them, they don't feel sorry for it. They give and seek pleasure out of giving. And they give priority over them themselves, even if they are also needy. And this is the category of mu'mins. And I say this as an example of the high moral standards Islam can lead you to. Another example of ithar, that is, preference over self. Remember the night when the Prophet ﷺ was to emigrate from Mecca to Medina, and all the sub-tribes of Quraysh plotted to kill him and seized his home, and each young man from a tribe had his sword so that they all stabbed the Prophet and kill him, and there wouldn't be one tribe to bear responsibility but all the tribes of Mecca at the time. And the Prophet wanted to make them believe that he's still there because he wanted to sneak out without them seeing him. And what he did was selecting a mu'min to sleep in his bed, so that when the people peep inside, they think that the Prophet is still there and have not gone. And that was how Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet, slept in his bed and subjected himself to be killed by the Quraysh instead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is, I prefer your life, Rasulullah, and I am willing to threaten my life instead of you. And the Prophet and Abu Bakr went on the journey until they reached the cave and were to go in order to hide from the kuffar. And Abu Bakr would tell the Prophet, you stay. And fearing that there might be a beast or a snake inside the cave, Abu Bakr would go before the Prophet ﷺ to receive whatever it was and to save the Prophet. This is ithar. This is giving a priority over your own self. Islamic history reports to us, in the Battle of Yarmouk, a man went to fetch his cousin amongst the casualties until he found him just moribund. And he said, can I give you a drop of water? And he said, please, yes. And as the water was near to his mouth, he heard another Muslim moaning. Oh! And so he said, oh, no, no, no. Take the water to my brother. And the man took the water to the brother. And as he was about to drink, he would hear yet another Muslim casualty say, oh, moaning. He said, oh, take the water to my brother. And he took the water to find the third one already dead. So he came to the second one and found him already dead. So he took the water back to his cousin and found him already dead. This is ithar, when it is the last throes of life and you are feeling the intense thirst, and yet you have the mind and the heart and the faith to say, no, me less important, go and give my brother. And this was the kind of Muslims, the kind of people that Islam raised up. And Islam would like to raise up this kind. And you would think erroneously that I'm telling stories from the history of 1,000 years ago. Believe me, it still happens. It still happens in the Ummah of Muslims. And there are people who are on that same scale and standard in ithar. I know of a person who declined a lucrative post job in preference for a brother who was in more need of it, and so he went and withdrew his application. I know of a family amongst you, and you know them, who paid the major part of building a school only to rent it to an Islamic center at the rent of $1 a month. I know a man in Los Angeles who built a shelter for battered Muslim women for $250,000 and gave it to the Islamic center. I know of a man, Rahmatullahi Ali, he was my spiritual teacher. He was a doctor. And in a bout of headache, he sent his nurse to call various poor families from amongst his clientele and brought a vase in which he stored the money for his funeral and said, perhaps the living are more needy than the dead, and gave them all the money. I know of those examples and many more that happened in 1999 and 1998. But of course, they wouldn't want to publicize it. But rest assured, my brothers, that when Islam calls for generosity and calls for ithar, giving priority over yourself, it is not a matter of the past. It is still living. And as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, Al-khayru fiyya wa fi ummati ila yawm al-qiyamah. Goodness will always be in me and in my nation until the day of judgment. And perhaps when you know that these examples are there, it might be your stimulus to move up the ladder, to move from stingy to generous, to move from generous to mu'thir, the one who gives the priority over himself. Why do I say all this? Because exactly 2 weeks ago, I heard something that really upset me. I intended to make it the subject of my Jum'ah khutbah today, but my wife advised me not to. In a school in the Los Angeles County, a very prestigious school, an all-girls school, and the school administration organized a lecture for the girls. And who was the lecturer? A gay person, in order to tell them about the case for being gay and lesbian, in order to acquire tolerance and tolerate this. And this really upset me. I can't tolerate people. I can be patient, I can be quiet, I can be tranquil. But to blur the demarcation between right and wrong, to me is wrong, is unacceptable. I cannot tolerate this. to bring anyone to give the case that this is natural, this is tolerable, we should tolerate others, etc., etc. This is not value-free education. It is an education loaded with negative values. And this made me remember again that we need the Islamic school. In that school that invited for the lecture, there were Muslim girls. But fortunately, they had graduated from the New Horizon Islamic School. And already they know the halal and the haram. And already they gave their point of view. And already they say, we don't make our religion. We receive it and we obey it. And in our religion, sex is prohibited unless it is an authentic Shar'i marriage between a man and a woman. But there are others who didn't have this opportunity. And as a matter of fact, it was found out that amongst the students of that school, there were two lesbians. One of them was Muslim. Can this happen to Muslims? Yes, it can. And therefore I tell you, your trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your children. Will they become Muslim? Or will they be assimilated in the norms of the community? And I believe more and more there is no alternative to the Islamic schools in order to mold them as Muslims in their moldable years. So that when they go out in the rough ocean, they know what they are, they know how to swim against the current and not drown in the waves. And alhamdulillah, this center has a school here in the building, another school in Pasadena, another school in West Los Angeles, and the middle school was inaugurated 2 weeks ago, so four schools, and the land has been bought for the fifth school in Orange. And schools do not build themselves by themselves. The rocks do not just assemble to form a school. The government will not give money to Islamic schools. The Islamic countries are becoming bankrupt. And therefore, you have to carry the expenses. Whether you have children in that school or not is immaterial. But you are trying to save Islam from coming to an end in this country by pumping into this society Muslim boys and girls who speak Islam, who swim against the current, and who hopefully in the future will reverse that current. This is jihad. This is an expense of zakat. And therefore, whoever who can, little or much, rich or poor, send your check to the Islamic Center and mark it New Horizon Orange. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. سألوا ربكم يستجيب لكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. My dear Muslims, a wisdom I discovered at my old age. We all deal with people, we deal with one another. I deal with my family, I deal with my friends, in my office, in my work. And you think that as you deal with me, it is a bilateral relation. No. In Islam, it is a trilateral relation because Allah is always there. As you deal with me, you are not dealing with me. You are dealing with Allah through me. If you forgive me, it is for Allah. If you help me, it is for Allah. If you give money to the school, it is for Allah. If you are patient at your home and your wife and the children, it is for Allah. Never forget that in Islam, you cannot be two persons together. You are always three. You cannot be one person alone. You are always two, because Allah is always there. So plan your life from now on. And who knows when the end comes. It might come when least expected. But from now on, deal with people on the basis that you are primarily dealing with Allah and secondarily dealing with the people. And watch your dollar, how to earn it and where to spend it. And know that people are scattered. Asfal safilin and a'la aliyin. So choose where you want to be and help the cause of Islam without reserve. And in this way, inshallah, the Muslim ummah that is almost losing hope now will regain hope and will regain the eligibility for the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once we deserve it, it will come, inshallah. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهدنا سبلك. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا وعلمنا وعلم بنا. اللهم اجعلنا جديرين بمحمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك واجمعنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك والحب فيك. وأحينا وأمتنا وابعثنا على لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.